This morning's scripture reading will be from Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commandments are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet on from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path.
Good morning. It's really good to see all of you, and I mean that more than normal. You know, when you get sick and you don't get to come to church, it's depressing to me. I don't like being sick, first of all, but then I just really got worn down this week not being around you, not being in the office and seeing the folks that come in to do things during the week, not being here on Wednesday night. It's just so good to be together. Like Tim talks about our dinners on Wednesday night and those times together and being in the Word together, just I miss you all, and it's just great. I'm glad to be with you today. And I guess all I can say about our daily Bible reader dinner last night is, oops, sorry. We had to postpone it, thanks to me, and we're looking forward to having it again. Now, the good news is, if you couldn't come last night because you had a conflict or something in your schedule, hopefully you'll be able to come in 2 weeks. We're going to be getting together on Saturday night to eat, as we typically do, and but just have a great evening. And I want to encourage everybody this year, just to, if you haven't already started, just to make sure you're in the Word of God every day. Whether you're on the daily Bible reading schedule or program, that's a decision for you to make, but at least to be in the Word every day, to be studying God's Word, to engage God's Word, or better yet, for God's Word to be engaging you, because there's just something that happens when we open up the Word of God. It's not about checking off an item to do on our to-do list, but it's about coming into the presence of God and taking His Word into ourselves and finding strength, finding instruction, finding guidance for our life. And that is so very important for us to fill our hearts and our souls with the Word of God. Last week, we talked about why we eat. Now, somebody suggested this. I found out who was on vacation last week. It was a joke, so forget last week's sermon. It was just, but last week we talked about, the spiritual significance of eating together in the Bible, eating in the presence of God, covenant meals, eating at the table together, table fellowship in the church, and how these images in the Word of God speak to us about belonging to one another and being reconciled to God and being a covenant people, and how God uses this to speak of our ultimate victory, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the messianic banquet where all the great foods are being served. And we just were talking last week about how we have so much. We share in so much spiritual bounty. We are so filled, and there are so many people in our world who aren't. There are people in our world who are hungry and who are empty, and some of them don't even know what they're hungry for. And so last week, we just determined we want to do everything we can to say to those people, come to the feast. The Lord has prepared a feast. It's for everyone. It's a feast of blessing and salvation and joy. And we want to be a church that's about inviting people to that feast. And we determined last week, we encouraged one another and determined that we want to pray every day this year. Not only do we want to read our Bible, we want to be on our knees in prayer. We want to pray to God for souls. We want to pray for the people we know in our families who don't know the Lord yet, that He give us the very best ways to reach out to them, to be an influence in their lives, to pray for our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, the people we're in school with, everyone that we know that doesn't yet know the Lord, to pray that hearts will be open, to pray that we'll have an opportunity to reach out to them. Because, you know, when we're praying for others and praying for their hearts, God has a way of working on our own hearts and giving us an opportunity to do something about it. We want to pray for ministries and different outreaches that we do as a congregation. And it's kind of frightening and exciting all at the same time. The Tet Festival, and looking forward to that meeting this afternoon to continue to work and plan for that. Just another opportunity to be in our community and to be with people and just do our very best to let them know about God and the love that God has for them and to be able to reach out to people. And we want to be praying for God to bring people to us, to bring guests in our door on the Lord's Day and to welcome them and to see them as truly an answer to prayer, as a means of fulfilling the Great Commission, of sharing the good news with people in our community. And Tim mentioned that we were going to have a meeting at 4 o'clock about our some efforts that we're putting into place to reach out, to be welcoming, to let people know when they come here, we're so thankful you're here, and to let them know that they have a warm welcome, that we want them to return. And, you know, we just decided this is something too big for a small number of people to do. So during our worship tonight, we're going to have our regular worship assembly, but during the lesson aspect of the time together, we want to put into action some things that we're going to be doing as a congregation. I'll let you know about some things that are starting in ways to welcome our guests and to let them know how thankful we are that they've come to be with us. If you're not normally here on Sunday evening, let me invite you to be back tonight for this. We just as a congregation need to be in this together, need to be on the same page together, need to be doing everything we can to welcome folks, to reach out to people, to be warm, to be welcoming, and to encourage people, and hopefully that our very welcome will encourage them to come back. And we were speaking last week about imagine what God can do through us. If we're really praying about this every day, if as a congregation, every heart here, every day of this coming year is praying for the lost and for souls and for people to come. The amazing things God can do through us, not just because God will act independently of us, but because God will transform us in our time of prayer to make us more aware, to make us more looking outward and reaching outward. And that's what we really want to focus on as a church. We want to look outward. The church's mission is outside. It's to reach out to others and to encourage them and to welcome them. And I just want, as best I can, to encourage you to be a part of the congregation here, to be a part of our welcoming of others, and to truly show them the love of God in the way that we greet people and meet them when they come to worship with us. What a wonderful opportunity God gives us every Sunday morning when we come together. And just as we feast on these spiritual blessings in Christ today, we want to talk about another kind of feasting, the feasting that we need for our own nourishment, feasting on the Word of God. This is indispensable in our spiritual life and to grow spiritually. And sadly, even sometimes as Christians, we fail in this most essential and foundational spiritual discipline and pursuit. Because if we're not devoted, if I'm not devoted, if you're not devoted to truly taking in the Word of God, feasting on it, eating it, taking it into your heart and your soul, reflecting on it, meditating upon it, applying the words of God that pierce your own hearts, if we're not doing that in our lives regularly, we're going to find ourselves weak. We're going to be malnourished. We're going to be easily discouraged. We're going to be uninvolved. We're going to be sitting on the sidelines. We're not going to have the zeal and the faith and the encouragement that we need. Have you ever seen a dog with a bone? Well, if you haven't, you have now. But I think most of us have seen a dog with a bone. We're kind of drawn to the guy on the upper left, probably. That's a pretty good one. When a dog gets a bone, he just loves to get it between his teeth. And he grips it between his teeth, and he shakes his head, and he just kind of has that, almost that prance, you know, as he walks back and forth with that thing in his mouth. And then he settles down, or she settles down, and they begin to gnaw and to lick and to savor. And the big dogs, of course, they even get to start breaking that bone down and getting inside that bone and getting the marrow out and getting every last little thing of taste and nourishment, anything they can. And they may work on it for hours or even days. You know, the cartoon about the dog burying the bone. Well, dogs actually, they do hide things like that, don't they? Because they want to come back. They want to get to it. They want to just to keep gnawing on that thing and getting every little last bit out of it. In Isaiah chapter 31, verse 4, Isaiah says, as a lion growls, a great lion over his prey. And though a whole band of shepherds is called together against him, he's not frightened by their shouts or disturbed by their clamor. A lion over its prey, a lion growling over its prey. If a lion's growling over its prey and I walk up with a stick and say, hey, buddy, leave that, you know, leave that impala, or, you know, get up and leave that zebra, he is not going to worry about it. In fact, if you've ever been in a place where you can see lions eating, they don't care. You can drive up in your big, you know, your big four-wheel drive vehicle and sit there all day and they will just keep on munching there. You notice I didn't put a bloodthirsty photo up there. That's just a lion. Just imagine the prey down there in front of them. But the point is that Isaiah is making is you're not going to get that lion up until he's done and until he's had every morsel and has taken that animal in. He will growl over his prey. The interesting thing is that word growl. It means, of course, to be undeterred from savoring and consuming every last bit of it, but it is the same word that's translated over and over again in the Old Testament as meditate. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. Same Hebrew word. He meditates. He growls over. He's got it there. It's between his teeth. He's not letting go of it. I mean, you can see kind of the determination that you find in this word. Psalm 63:6, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. This is the way God's word, this is the way our thinking about God is to go. It goes on, and we savor it. Meditating is more than sitting quietly with a serene look on your face. When your dog meditates or when a lion meditates, they're chewing and they're swallowing and they're working those teeth and they're moving their tongues around that. They're pulling off every little last scrap they can get and they're taking it down and they're tasting it. Oh, and they like it. And they're taking it inside and they're swallowing it with those soft purrs and those low growls. And so we take in the Word of God, the life energizing Word of God, the life-changing Word of God. And we say with the psalmist, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And we take the Word in. This is the only way that the Word of God can really be effectively taken in, these Spirit-filled words of God, to change you and me and to transform us and have their power. You know, how many times can we say it? You know this. You don't read the Bible like you're reading the newspaper, do you? You don't read the Bible like you're reading your grocery list or even like you're reading a novel. The Bible is read differently. It's read with intensity. And the Bible itself supplies the metaphor, and it is to feast on it, to eat it. Over and over again, we find in the writings of Scripture words to that effect. When the angel speaks to John in Revelation chapter 10:9 and has the Word of God for him represented in the scrolls. Remember, he says in Revelation 10:9, take the scroll and eat it. When Ezekiel the prophet is called to prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 3, son of man, eat this scroll and fill your stomach with it. What are they being told? You need to take the Word of God into you. It needs to come into you in such a way that impacts your life and changes you. And it's metabolized and it becomes part of who you are. Or as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 119, verse 103, as we've read today, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The Word of God's got to be consumed. It's got to be eaten. It's got to be growled over. It's got to be taken in and savored and chewed and tasted. And just as the food that we eat, it nourishes us and it strengthens us, so does the Word of God. It has to come in that same kind of way spiritually, that it, just as our body takes in nourishment and food and it changes us down on that cellular level. When you take in the Word of God this way, it changes you deep down in your heart and soul. It transforms you. It makes you a different person as you face God face to face and hear His words and listen to Him. And we're not just studying. We're not just getting information, but the Word of God is getting metabolized into acts of service and into changed lifestyle and into holiness and to submission to our Lord and God. That's the way the Scripture is meant to be taken in. And you know, there are a lot of ways that we read the Scripture. A lot of ways that maybe don't ultimately get us to this level of reading the Scripture. You know, sometimes we read the scriptures to be intellectually challenged. There's nothing wrong with being intellectually challenged. Although, I guess if you're, there is a way that that's not necessarily a good thing if you're intellectually challenged, but if you know what I mean. But, you know, if you're interested in geography or history or anthropology or, I mean, almost any kind of study, on the Word of God is amazing. You can just go to the Word of God and you can just be challenged by all sorts of things. You can figure out all the intricacies, all the things that are difficult to understand. I mean, you get me off on Melchizedek. Man, that just, you know, that rings my bell. Melchizedek, go to Genesis 14. Jump off 500 years later to Psalm 110. 1,000 years later to Hebrews 7. How does God tie all that stuff? I mean, I can get, you know, it's kind of weird. But, you know, some of us like that kind of stuff. Or Haggai Zechariah class on Sunday morning, we're talking about Zerubbabel a couple of weeks ago. And, man, I can get real excited about the dual role of Zerubbabel in the genealogies of Jesus. That's just so cool to me to see how God puts things together. You know, and so sometimes we read to be intellectually challenged, or maybe sometimes we read because we want to support the doctrines that we believe and find support for them. Sometimes we want to improve our life. Maybe I'm having financial trouble and I can go to the Bible, and sure enough, there's some pretty good advice in there for how to handle myself in different ways. There's good practical advice. Sometimes maybe we just want to be inspired. We want to read something that is, you know, that's going to really make us feel better or inspire our hearts. Well, there's nothing wrong with any of these, is there? I mean, there's nothing wrong to challenge yourself intellectually or to support up the doctrines that you believe and teach and to improve your life or to be inspired. But I can go to the Word of God kind of just to do something for me. I can go to God with my own designs, my own desires, and fulfill those without ever personally meeting God Himself and hearing His Word in my heart. I mean, I can slice and dice the genealogies of Jesus all day, but it doesn't bring me face to face with a God who knows me and wants to probe my heart and wants to change me or wants to encourage me or wants to fill me with His Spirit. Sometimes we can read. You can read the Bible every day. You and I can read the Bible through every year. And not necessarily hear the voice of God. If I'm just reading it because I've got to read that off and check it off today, obviously I'm for Bible reading and reading through the Bible every year, and I love it and I enjoy it. I want to keep doing that for the rest of my life. But I hope you understand what I'm saying. We've got to go to the Word of God, desiring to hear what God wants to say to us. Saying, God, this is about Your Word coming into my heart, and I need to hear what You want me to hear, to come to God face to face, to hear His voice, to let Him make clear to me the designs He has on my life. Hebrews chapter 4, Tim started us off with verse 12 this morning. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. The writer Hebrews says the Word of God's amazing. It's not just a book with a bunch of words on a page. This thing is alive. It's like a sword. It can come in and it can lay you bare. It can reveal your heart, even to yourself. It can expose you, and God can come in through that word and see everything about you and probe your heart and understand all there is to know about you. Well, but if I come to the Word of God and don't want that experience, if I'm not open to that, that's not something that God forces on me. I can go to the Word of God without having any desire to be probed by that Word. But this writer is pointing out the need that we have to read the Bible with an interest in God, to come to the Scriptures, to know God, to be led by His Word, to come into a relationship where He explains to us how He longs for us to live, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. to taste and see that the Lord is good, or as Peter says, like newborn babes, to crave the sincere milk of the Word so that we can grow. That's what the Scriptures are saying, to feast on the Word, to take it in, to let it be a life-changing experience. And I wonder sometimes if perhaps it's the lack of this that explains why many of us as Christians remain unchanged through the years. We can go on sometimes for months or years in our life without experiencing spiritual growth, without having a higher level of commitment, without having a deeper understanding of what it means for Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life and my time and my money and my gifts and everything that I am. We can go for years just kind of maintaining personal status quo in our spiritual development. Now, there could be a lot of reasons that that goes on. There are a lot of factors. We may be distracted by the world. We may have some sin we just haven't been willing to deal with. And because of that, God can't go any further with us because we won't come clean on something that's wrong in our life. There may be all sorts of reasons that happens. But I truly do believe that perhaps the major reason that Christians do not always grow and mature and thrive in their faith and find the strength to overcome discouragement and to keep being faithful every day of their life is because we don't give time to feasting on the Word of God. There's nothing that can take the place of that. There's nothing that takes the place of the Word of the living God coming into my heart and impacting my heart and my life and my thinking every single day. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say in chapter 5, he's wanting to talk to them about some. In fact, what he's wanting to talk to them, coincidentally, is about Melchizedek. But, well, that's for another time. But he says, you know, I really want to talk to you about this. We have much to say about this, but it's hard. It's hard to explain because you're slow to learn. The writer of Hebrews is saying, I got something so important I want to share with you, and I really don't think you're up to it. I don't think you're going to be able to take this in and benefit from it. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you ought to be the ones passing this along. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. The writer of Hebrews is saying, you just haven't gone further in your faith. There's so much that could really bless you now, but I'm not sure if you're going to be able to receive it because you're still there on the milk, and you need to get beyond that. You need to move forward. It's through constant use. It's by having these words of God coming into you over and over again. It's about your continued growth and commitment to discipleship that this maturity takes place. And so we're called upon and encouraged in Scripture to meditate on the Word of God, to savor it, to spend time, to open our heart, to encounter the living God, His will, His demands, His desires for me, to stop and think about these things that we're reading, to read about denying ourselves and taking up our cross and picking up that bone and going over and sitting down and chewing on that thing for a while. What does that mean in my life? What does it mean right now in my life? What does that mean to take up my cross? And taking that word in and allowing it to wash over us and to be so hungry to know what God wants in our lives that we will not give up, that we will not stop feasting, that we will grow, that we will become the spiritually mature people that God longs for us to be, that we will be strong and vibrant and growing and changing because we're changing into the image of Jesus. Oh, to take in the Word, to feast on the Word of God. Just a final word about the Word from a different perspective. In John chapter 1, verse 1, John in his gospel identifies Jesus as the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you know, in verse 14, John said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This eternal word, this one who is equal with God, this one who is the creator, he becomes flesh. It's the incarnation, God becoming man in Jesus Christ. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then down in verse 18, he says, you know, nobody's seen God, but God, the only begotten, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Jesus is the Word of God. We have this written Word of God, but Jesus himself comes to this earth as the Word of God within the flesh and reveals God to us. And as the living Word, recall what Jesus says in John chapter 6. After the feeding of the 5,000, in John chapter 6, verse 53, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real or true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Do you want Jesus to dwell in you? Do you want to dwell in Jesus Christ and remain in him so that you can bear fruit, so that you can have strength? Jesus says, this is the way it happens. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. You know what happened when Jesus said that? People were put off, and the multitudes left. He said, this is insane. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? I mean, this isn't right. The prohibition against blood in the law, but this just doesn't make sense on any level. They were there because Jesus gave them something to eat. He gave them some food, and they liked that. And, you know, they wanted to make use of Jesus. In this occasion, they wanted to make him king. They wanted a king. They wanted a ruler. They wanted Jesus to do something for them. They wanted to free them from the Roman oppressors. And Jesus was just the guy to do it. And what Jesus is dealing with here in his ministry is that there are a lot of people who like Jesus. There are a lot of people who want to come to Jesus and believe in Jesus if that means Jesus doing for them what they want Jesus to do. I mean, if Jesus can get me a job, if Jesus can take care of my problems, if Jesus can, I mean, then I'm ready to come to Jesus. But the problem is that Jesus demands that we come to him on his terms, not ours. He is not a commodity to be used. He's not a commodity to be used. I don't become a believer in Jesus so I'll get well, or so that I'll do good in business, or so that I'll have a great marriage. That's not why I come to Jesus. That's not how Jesus invites. Jesus says, I am someone you must consume. You've got to take me in. This isn't about me doing a few things for you. You have got to so feast on me and feed on me that I change you, that I am your very source of life and nourishment, that I am the one who sets the agenda, that I am the one who gives you strength. And is it any wonder that Jesus asks us and demands of us to do the very thing as the living Word of God who's come to the earth, as the Word of God itself, this Word, and that's to feast on him. Jesus is to be consumed. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's a spiritual feasting to take in, to savor the life, the teaching, the power, to meditate upon, to be spiritually digested. And that's what God's doing through the Word. It's revealing himself and inviting us into a relationship with him of spiritual life. That's what he's doing through Jesus Christ. He's revealing himself, inviting us into a relationship with him that's based on his terms, that begins with our bowing to his lordship and then allowing God to change us, to redeem us, to change us, to mold us, to make us like Jesus, to put the stamp of Jesus on us. And what is required of us in this submissive response to his gracious invitation is to feast on the Word of God, to feast on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just this simple. If I don't do that, I'm not going to grow in Christ. If I don't do that, I am not going to have strength to stand against Satan's temptations. I'm not going to have the sword of the Spirit in my armor chest when I stand up to fight. If I don't do that, I'm not going to have a foundation to my faith. It's just that simple. And I know anytime we're talking about doing things or adding things to your schedule, we all think about time, we all think about our schedules. How can I find 30 minutes a day or 60 minutes a day or whatever time, you know, to spend really thinking about the Word of God? Let me just throw out a few things. As another person who struggles with time, for some of it's television. Now, some of you don't watch TV at all. Of course, it's funny how when we get to talking, none of us actually watch television. I wonder who's watching it out there, but, you know, I don't watch much television, just this. But maybe you watch television an hour a day. Maybe you watch it 2 hours a day. Maybe you watch it three. I don't know. If it's not television, maybe it's Facebook. How much time do you spend on Facebook? If it's on Facebook, maybe a tweet. You know, I don't know. You know, we have different things. Maybe you like to do email. I play Words with Friends. I've only got two friends so far, but I'm playing Words with Friends with my two friends. And I kind of limit myself. It's like, you know what? I think two games is about all I can do, because if I had like 40 of them going, I don't know that I'd ever get any work done or I'd ever do anything. It's so much fun. You know, there's something in your life and mine. That's all I'm saying. There's something. And it's some fine little thing that we do that could easily give way to more time in the Word of God that is going to impact us in such amazing ways. And do you know how it is? I know so many of you here, you know this. When you make that commitment, when that becomes a part of your life and your spiritual discipline and training, you can't go without it. It's not like, oh, I'm two chapters behind, I guess I better read today. I mean, and that's part of the, you know, we got to get over that with our daily Bible reading, because it's not just about that. It's about, I need to hear what God has to say to me today. I haven't been in his Word today. Maybe you're homesick. I've been running a fever for 2 days. I haven't been able to open up and read anything. I need to get back into the Word. I need to hear what God has to say. And one of the great blessings in being in the church family is you see folks who've done that all their lives, folks that are older than you. And there's so many in this congregation, people who are my senior, I just see them filled with the Word of God, and they know the Word of God, and it's shaped their lives, it's made them who they are, and of course that's happening to younger folks too. I'm just saying, once we start that, you don't want to quit it. It's not a chore. It's not something you have to check off on your list, because you just want to feast on the Word of God. It fills you up. It reminds you who you are. It guides your life. It helps you with your decisions. It probes your heart, and it convicts you when you're wrong, and it encourages you when you're down, and you get back up on your feet, and God's speaking to you every day, and it's real. It's a real relationship, and he's speaking to you, and then we're flowing that communion back with prayer, and that's the whole, that's just the growth that we have in Christ, and the one that we all need to give devotion to, whatever our situation is. I just want to encourage every one of us to feast on the Word of God. Keep on feasting and grow in the Spirit. Grow in your faith. And to our friends who are here today, maybe you haven't even started that journey. You haven't come into that relationship with God, but maybe you know what that relationship is, and you've been longing for it, and you're ready for it. And you want to come to God. It's through Jesus Christ. It's through that living Word who became flesh. And his flesh, his body was nailed to the cross, and he shed that blood, that flesh and that blood. We partook of it a few minutes ago, the symbols of it. And we were saying, we need you, Jesus. We need to keep consuming you and remembering you and you directing our lives. We point you to him. We point you to a sacrifice on the cross for the hope, for the forgiveness of your sins, to turn from those sins, to come from the worthless pursuits that just don't build us up, to come to Jesus Christ, to confess him as Son of God, to submit to his lordship, to be baptized into Christ, to be raised up to new life, born again. That's the beginning of that whole life of growth and maturity, and then taking in the milk, and then taking in the meat, and growing stronger, and having a living, fulfilling relationship with your Creator that will get you through this life, that will supply your needs, and that will plant such a hope of eternity in your heart that you just want to spend your life in the presence of God. If there are any who need to respond to the Father today, we invite you, come to him, feast on him, as we stand and as we sing together.